Attention, pussy shoppers! Take advantage of our penny pussy sale! If you buy one piece of pussy at the regular price, you get another piece of pussy of equal or lesser value for only a penny! Try and be pussy for a penny! If you can find cheaper pussy anywhere, fuck it!
Super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Getting anally violated when they've had tits tattooed on their back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who defecates in the corner of the PC Hotel, 42nd Street Pete.
I spit in the face of decency, you know, really. If you don't like it, turn me the fuck off. That is your prerogative.
And welcome to Jackalope Radio and the 42nd Street Pete Grindhouse Show.
What, do you want me to hold back?
No, never hold back.
No, not at all. I've already had issues with a certain party, and I already outed him on the movies Hate Us show. And I don't know if I should see, you know, I don't know if I should say his name or not, you know. It's just...
Say it.
Okay. It's the Della Morte show, you know, the guy from that. And I read this whole thing, and, like, you're barking up the wrong tree with everything, because, number one, when Todd was in the hospital, you had no fucking business demanding he tape your anniversary show when he just had fucking major open-heart surgery. That was bullshit, number one. Number two is this whole thing. I said something last week about fuck Fango, and he took umbrage to that thing, too. So, you know, my attitude, and I'll say it right on the air, I have no fucking use for Fango magazine. I have no fucking use for Dread Central. I have no use for any of these entities, and I'm not saying this to be cool. I'm saying this because it's the fucking truth, okay? I have nothing to do with these people. These people are never going to do anything for me, never have. And to be honest with you, when I got beat up, I could have sued Fango out of fucking existence, but I didn't. You know why I didn't do it? I did it because I'm a fan. Now thinking back, I wish the fuck I did do it. But be that as it may, you know, this whole, we're a team. We're not a team. We're fucking Renegade Radio. You know, we're realistic enough to know that I'll never get picked up as a fucking show unless it's on Sirius or something like that. Josh is ambitious, and Josh is going to go places because he's pushing, you know, what he has to push. I'm fucking old. I'm going to retire in 2 years and not even give a fuck. I'm going to sit home and whack off to internet porn. For all I care, you know?
You're not going to retire. We'll be doing this to the day we die.
Well, I mean, we'll be doing this shit, but, you know, as far as me giving a fuck and making a living in this business, I haven't made fucking nickel in this business lately, and it's because of bullshit and crap, as, like, we're talking about hackers, torrent sites, downloaders, and other fucking scumbags. So,
Pete, if it makes you feel any better, you are the reason I initially came to Jackalope when I discovered your show. So at least you did accomplish that. I found your show, and then I found the other stuff on Jackalope from there. So you were sort of the flagship there. Sorry, Todd, it wasn't Nightwatch. It was Pete.
Hey, Pete's brought a lot of people to the station, and now I want to give people an update because a whole bunch of people just surged us. So I want to let them know that we're talking about, you know, the opening of the show was a little choppy there because we've had some issues with the servers. And we had some people trying to hack us because of Mr. Josh Hadley here and his big mouth. But it's all now because we're back on the air and we're happy. But those hackers got stopped by our great security staff. Thank you to those guys for doing a great job and for our server team that kept things rolling. Thanks to you guys and for getting us back on the air in time for Pete.
Yeah,
I was surprised the security guy should have taken him out in a back alley and beat him with big fucking sticks until he pissed blood for the next 3 weeks.
Actually, Pete, you know what entered my mind? That scene in Casino where they caught the cheaters?
Yeah.
That's actually what went through my mind.
Well, not when they took Pesci out in the desert and beat him to death with an aluminum bat?
No. I like the one better where they smashed all of his knuckles with a hammer and then...
And
then they told the other guy you can have the money or the saw?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping that these little cowardly fucks aren't from some, you know, non-extradition country or something, because I want prosecutions on this. I really do. Todd, I want you to pursue that. If we find these little fuckers, I want to see headlines: radio site hackers prosecuted and convicted.
Sounds good to me.
CBS News.
Todd, you have attorneys for this shit, you know.
I do. I have a couple of different ones.
We can all sue them. I mean, anybody who, it affected me, it affected Griff, it affected, Josh. I don't know who else it affected.
Let me know what I need to write out a check for. I'll pitch in.
Yeah. What the hell?
It affected, let's see, the three of us, Rob. It would have affected me later, but looks like what the fuck will air on time. And then isn't Thrash Till Death on after us, after What the Fuck?
It is.
So it would affect him then, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It really fucked up my flow here, because I know for a fact there's several dozen women out there who listen to my show and can't achieve clitoral orgasm until after, I get off the air at 11.
The whole thing that kind of upsets me about this whole let's try to be a little bit more professional attitude is there's plenty of other time frames, throughout the week that shows are a little bit more toned down. I mean, if you want to step off the block with the big boys, then hey, take another, there's what, 6 other days in the week. I'm sure, find a spot between 6 a.m. 6 p.m. that you're putting your show on. I'm sure Todd will work with.
I know who it is. I think I have an idea.
Who we're talking about as far as the show.
I'm doing it like this. I ain't out to make any fucking money. Only thing I do is I get together with some friends of mine 1 hour a week, and I get to bullshit, laugh, and I have fun. I get to act like an idiot. And then the next day when I'm sitting going through all my crummy movies that I've purchased from my last week's endeavors in the shitty video stores, I can sit back and listen to myself make an idiot of myself. And I don't give a fuck. I'm not out to try to sell my own personal gain or to further my other little appendages that I have set forth with other friends of mine. But I'm just doing it for fun, So if you don't, like I said before, if you don't like what we have to say at 8 o'clock on More Horror Than Horror, then go fuck yourself. Don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. If you want to talk film, you can call up and talk film. And I don't have any reason to lie to people. That's why we cut films down. That's why we say films are shit. Don't buy this film. Don't go rent. These fucking film companies aren't paying me thousands of dollars to plaster fucking my Facebook page with every goddamn script and fucking ad content they can push. And when you push up my Facebook page or the show's Facebook page, you don't have 16 different fucking trailers running so much you can't even see the page you logged into. So, if you want to write your own checks, then you might just step off and just go ahead and create your own station and do it under your own umbrella.
Well, it's also like with my shows, how often do I ever say anything positive about anything? Almost everything I do is bitch about what's wrong with movies, what's wrong with TV, what's wrong with video games. It's a wonder I have a sponsor at all, Griff, is what it really comes down to.
Yeah, but the whole deal is, and I'm not putting myself over that I started this shit. I mean, Todd got me on, and originally we actually had a little format for, a brief fucking 3 or 4 months until it just degenerated into what it is today. It's almost like I'm Al Goldstein. It's another just a bizarre extension of my personality, But it fucking works, So
that's good. That's good.
But the thing about it is, once you start searching for sponsors and ads and stuff, I mean, I realize money, it takes things to run, you need it. But it's like terrestrial radio. You listen to any content on a terrestrial radio now, it's all ads. You get very little content, all ad. You don't hear any fucking music anymore. That's why the invention of satellite radio came to be. And even in some instances, some of the shows on satellite are having way too much ad space. And at that point, if you're caring about the ads, then you're not doing your show any justice by supposedly saying you are for what you're for. It just doesn't make any sense. You're in for the wrong purpose.
Well, and Griff, there's a local radio station here that's been around since before I was born. They decided to try an idiotic idea to get people to listen to the ads. 45 minutes of nonstop rock, 45 straight minutes of music, and 15 straight minutes of commercials. Now, do you see something wrong with this philosophy? Who the fuck is going to sit through 15 straight minutes of commercials? Everyone I know, as soon as the first commercial turns on, they flip to another station and go, "We'll be back in 14 minutes." Right. That's just, that is so asinine. The way I would structure it, like for terrestrial radio, would be two songs, a 30-second commercial. Two songs, a 30-second commercial. People are willing to sit through it if it's very short. And that's more attractive to a buyer as well, because think about it. In that 15-minute block, your ad is going to be lost amongst the clutter. If your ad is the only ad in that break, people are more likely to pay attention to it.
Oh, I agree 100%. But when it comes, you know, it's always about the money. And those guys know that it would work. But they're thinking for every 130, well, we could just get rid of the extra song and we could play, you know, six or seven more commercials. I mean, it's all, they don't give a shit. They don't even listen to their own product, you know.
Well, it's like TV. When's the last time one of you guys have seen an uncut classic Star Trek episode?
Never.
Only on DVD.
Okay, well, the DVDs, Pete, you'll notice, are 50 minutes long. 10 minutes of commercials in an hour. I can deal with that. You watch them on, like, your local Fox station and the syndicated versions, 42 minutes. They cut 8 goddamn minutes out of the show for extra commercial time. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I know. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I have a feeling who the hackers are. Last year we had a problem with midgets. Maybe it's them doing it. I don't know.
we haven't heard.
How? Because they have sausage fingers and can't reach the keyboard.
Don't get them fucking started again, please. You know, we've been midget free for many weeks now.
Yeah. They're like, well,
I'm just trying to creep Todd out.
Well, I thought that was because of his heart attack that a midget had, like, crawled up his ass and punched him in the fucking aorta, you know? That's what I had thought.
That is not even necessary.
Yeah, I know. I know.
There's a Joe Dante movie in that.
there might be.
Yeah. Gerbils, too.
No, that would be was that Robert Redford?
No, Richard Gere.
That would be a Richard Gere movie, then.
Yeah, that was in Screw. They had a fucking, you know, one of their little movie mock-up parodies, and they had, like, Gere's head on his body bent over and gerbils flying out of his ass. That was pretty funny.
Got a message here. Apparently they didn't hear the opening of the show, and they said, what's so wrong with being PC?
You know something? Seriously, if you're listening now, blow me, all right? What's wrong with being PC? It's not about being PC. I never was PC. I haven't been PC. I was not PC before the fucking term was even committed or created, rather.
Well, it's like PC. I said,
this is America. If you don't like something, you bitch about it. You don't just turn the channel. You don't just not read it. You have to make sure everyone else can't read it or listen to it either. That's the American way, Pete.
Yeah, well, freedom of speech unless I disagree.
Well, wait a minute. Now, thinking of that, you know, I'm a creative guy, and being that, you know, America lately has, you know, come to epitomize stupidity, I've come up with the Stupidity Channel, and I was lucky enough to get there. I got their fall slate right here, and one of the first shows is a political show. Depending on whether it's going to happen in the next 4 years, it's going to be called Talking Shit with Mitt. Now, what's going to happen is that, you know, if Obama wins, Mitt has to talk shit about him for the next 4 years for a half hour every night. And let's see. After that, we have Two Broke Sluts, who are about two party girls in Brooklyn trying to make it, you know, on a dollar and a dream. And then, Todd, you like this because you like wildlife. It's called Shooting Endangered Species with Sarah. You know, Sarah Palin takes you on, you know, safari around the world and shoots rare, precious animals.
Wonderful. Thanks, Pete.
Naked.
Why would we do that to ourselves?
And, you know, then I got this off the Animal Planet. It's a spinoff on another show. It's called Hillbillies and Handjobs, where you can join Zeke, Clem, Luke, and the boys on the porch, and they see if they hit Granny in the eyeball with the splooge. So it's, let's see. We got Jersey Hoes, the true story of Jersey Shores. And here's a good one, Jerry's Kids. It's Jerry Sandusky on an all-black cell block. And our first episode, you know, the boys smuggle in 500 hits of Viagra and slip Jerry a roofie. And you can check out the hardcore hijinks on Jerry's Kids.
Hey, Pete, for Jerry's Kids, how would they pay him? Would that come out of his back end?
I think so. Yeah. And then we have Sci-Fi Ninja Bukkake Theater with Miko, Kiko, and the girls fighting their way through globs of alien splooge. And another one, you know, based on a lot of these reality shows, like, you know, Storage Wars and, you know, porn stores and shit. Dumpster Divers, Life at the Very Bottom. We join two homeless guys who dive in, you know, dumpsters to find stuff to sell and dinner. So that's a dumpster
like bug fights.
Yeah. And then this is a good one, On the Bowl with Chris Christie. Join Fat Chris as he pounds one out for an hour while giving us his political views and rags on people. And then we have, this is live from Louisiana. It's a documentary. It's called Shit Came From Beneath the Sea. All BP is done for the Gulf Coast. And another biker series that's going to start, you know, with, you know, real life old bikers called Sons of Arthritis. And then, you know, another show they came up with is the Trailer Trash Gourmet Hour. And another food show also, Wine and Swine. It's wine and all kinds of weird pork dishes you eat with it. And another reality show based on some stuff that goes on. It's called I Just Fucked Your Mom. You know, where the, you know, guy comes downstairs and the kid's standing there with a horrified look on his face as the guy pulls up his pants and his mother's spread eagle on the bed. So that's another good one.
Well, yep. Pete, I just invented one for your new channel here.
What's that?
It's called Am I Raging Right Now? A guy has to fuck 9 trannies and then figure out which one of them is got herpes or is HIV positive. It'll be on Fox.
Yeah, that's a good one for Fox. And last but not least, Championship Pope Shooting from the Vatican.
Pete, I think you missed one. You totally missed the Big Bang Theory. If it's a stupid channel, that show's got to be on there.
Okay.
I like that show, asshole.
That show is blackface for nerds, Todd.
Is somebody trying to call and I keep getting a bleep?
I got it too, but I don't see anything.
It's the hackers.
It's not on my Facebook page. Let me see.
Yeah, it must be coming. It almost sounds like it's coming through a Facebook page or something.
What? Yeah, I know. There's nothing on here.
I don't have Messenger open on mine, so it's not me.
We're in trouble.
Not me. Not Yahoo. Oh, so maybe it is hackers. Maybe we pissed somebody off.
Well, I gotta take off in a minute anyway. I actually got to record Radiodrome in 20 minutes. Which I hopefully can upload later tonight, too. Would that be correct, Todd?
Just don't leave your back door open, you know?
Yeah.
I always guard my back door.
Don't offend anybody.
Yeah, really.
Fuck that. I'm going to offend every single person I can think of. Tonight we're recording the episode where we look at Oliver Stone's filmography. There's no way we don't offend somebody.
Is that a good movie?
So I'll talk to you guys later.
Josh, thanks for calling in. It was fun.
Bye, Snookums.
Wow, I'm frightened by the Snookums thing. That's just...
The line's free if somebody wants to call in.
Yeah.
No.
Number's 310-928-7857. That's 310-928-7857 if you want to call in.
So call in, hackers. Face us face to face. Don't hide behind the computer.
I'm sure I pissed off somebody by now, so it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm just tired of this crap and this, like, careers in horror and careers in this and careers in that. I don't know anybody in this business on my level and even above my level that's making any money at this point. It's all gone fucking sour. So, you know, somebody wants to jump in. I'm not trying to kill anybody's chance. You're not gonna make any money. You're working for fucking nothing to get your name out there. And that's all you're ever going to do is work for fucking nothing. It doesn't matter. I mean, Griff's a knowledgeable guy. You know, he should be making money doing this. I'm a knowledgeable guy. Todd, we're not so sure of. He keeps having fucking heart attacks and shit, so. Is Griff still here?
Thanks.
I'm here.
Okay. I didn't see your little balloonie ain't lit up for some reason.
My balloonie?
Yeah, your little blob over your name.
Oh.
Todd's blob's lit up.
I'm stealthy like that.
I know.
I'm like a fucking ninja.
300 pounds, you're not like a fucking ninja, I'm sorry.
Unless you're George Clooney, you're not making any money.
Well, it's just, it's saturated and it's crap. You know, people are pushing shit and they're getting people hyped up about stuff and people aren't delivering and that's just you know, movie. I mean, the DVDs that are out there are just selling for astronomical prices, you know, and people aren't going to pay for it, you know. And sadly
it's
to say,
like the TVs.
Well, and it hurts people like Pete that legitimately try to put out, you know, quality product for a fair price, and you know, people are tired of getting burnt for shit. You know, when it says, when you get stuff and you know that says it's supposed to come out uncut or it's supposed to come out in general, and it's constantly your shit's getting pushed back, or people are saying, hey, you know, well, you're saying this is uncut. Well, why is there a 10 minutes difference between this and the European copy that came out, you know, last year? What's, you know, it's just everybody's out trying to make a quick dollar, and the fans are getting screwed in the end, and then eventually everybody just gets tired of it and says, fuck it, nobody makes any money. So, you know.
Yeah, plus a lot of leases are up, too, and nobody's renewing them. You know, like, well,
it's like Halloween 2 and Halloween 3 are having another special edition that are coming out this year. I mean, with extra things, I don't know.
Well,
I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, but that's late than never, though. And I think the reason why Shout Factory is doing that is because I think they were starting to notice a lot of press that Arrow Films was getting here in the United States from a lot of the publications, and a lot of their releases was coming out packed with quite a lot of shit. And I think a lot of companies have noticed, saying, hey, you know, they're selling a ton of those fucking Arrow films. I mean, you can get that stuff domestically through Amazon now. Everybody's carrying the Arrow titles because they sell. For why? Because when you spend $35 for a movie, you're getting $35 worth of movie. You're getting extras, you're getting clip art, you're getting inside. I mean, they put the money in the product. And that's not just one or two films, it's all of their films. And they're not fucking around, and people are losing their ass on them.
Well, of course, now, thanks to all the articles, we're not even able to get the Arrow releases because they're Region 2 locked.
Wait, the region? What do you mean Region 2 locked?
Well, when they first came out, they used to be able to pretty much get all the Arrow stuff, you know, originally when it first started coming out. You could throw it in any Blu-ray player, and it would play. But
yeah.
Now, just like the European DVDs, they're region zone locked, which means you have to have a region, you know, a multi-regional player to even play it.
Yeah.
But then, like I told Todd, there's a ton of websites out there where you can go get the codes for any domestic player. You can go in just like on any domestic DVD player and unlock all that shit, make it multi-regional. You know,
yeah.
It's not a problem. I mean, but it's just a hassle. It's just a hassle where you used to be able to grab it, come home, throw it in your player, and enjoy it. Now you've got to go an extra step. But, you know, so.
Yeah, and those two cheap players they used to have out a few years ago, that Cyber Home shit and the Apex, they used to play all region stuff.
Right.
Nuts.
And there's a couple of them here, actually, in the Hastings that they sell, that you can buy, that are like, I don't know, $25 or $35 a DVD player, and they're region free, you know. But the only problem is they only last you about 5 or 6 months, and then you got to turn around and buy a new one. So
yeah. Yeah, but
how come they only last you 5 or 6 months?
Because they're just cheaply made.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, and that, and the fact that, you know, when you're constantly running DVDs through them, I mean, you can tell just by holding it that there's not a whole lot of anything that matters in there anyway. You know, I mean, it's the smallest components that they can probably even get away with using. You know, it's probably only costing them a couple of bucks to even make them. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just shit. And it's just like the convention thing. You know, it's just the convention. You know, I'm so fucking tired of hearing certain names. I mean, every convention, it's like, really? It's like, you know, your star power is going to lack. You ain't made a movie in 15 years because you've been fucking doing conventions all the time. You ain't got time to make a movie. And then the movies they do make suck. So, because they ain't got time to make a decent movie. They can only make 3 or 4 shitty films in between convention appearances.
Yeah.
And then it makes the old films look bad, because you're like, how did you go from making such great films in the 70s and the 80s to make an absolutely crap fest now? You know, I mean, I understand you got to eat, but
it's all about money.
So,
you know, they ain't getting a hell of a lot of money, because it's like you watch some of these things, like sometimes they get Sid or somebody like that. He'll only be in the damn thing for 15 minutes, so it means basically he only worked a couple days on it. They shot his shit, sent him home, and then finished it.
Right.
So he only got, like, you know, whatever he gets, you know, for doing that. Just same with a lot of these guys, you know? Which
sucks.
I heard, but
I heard that. I told you, Pete, today, John Carpenter is writing Halloween 3D.
Anybody else hear that?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, I didn't hear it. No, I don't give a shit. I mean, I fucking... Carpenter hasn't done anything good since The Fog in my book.
I like Carpenter.
Yeah, I mean, and Chainsaw 3D is coming out this January. Gunner was raving about it.
Yeah, because he's in it, isn't he?
Yeah,
he plays a small cameo. But
I don't know. Yeah, they keep going back to the same old shit. All right, well, it's we made two with Arlie Ermey and Banarski, and I guess shit, maybe they sucked. We'll make another one. Who's playing Leatherface in it? Anybody know?
A different guy. It's not Banarski. I forgot his name, but it's a different guy. And Bill Moseley's playing Drayton Sawyer. It's supposed to happen right after the original Chainsaw 1 happened, and it's supposed to continue that right after Chainsaw. It has nothing to do with Arlie Ermey or any of that stuff.
But see, the thing about that is you're never going to replace Seedow as Drayton Sawyer.
Yeah.
And right. Moseley is stereotyped as fucking Chop Top. Every time you see Moseley in anything that he does, it's Chop Top. I mean, it's stereotyped.
Right.
So it's pointless to even make this movie. I mean, yeah, it's great that they're working, and I'm a mark for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. I'll be the first one to admit it. But
right.
I want Seedow as Drayton Sawyer, and I want Moseley to be Chop Top. And when I see Moseley on screen, I'm saying, well, that's Chop Top without the Chop Top makeup. I'm not going to see Seedow. I'm not going to buy it. And it's pointless to even, it's retarded to even come out and say that you're even going to have those people reprise roles. I mean, just don't even do it.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I can see your point.
Yeah, he's been gone for quite some time anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, since 2004, he died in 2004. He was one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I spoke to him on telephone, and one of the nicest guys. He would take time out for his fans.
I never met.
And going back to the whole convention thing, too, the thing that pisses me off is how many, how many big-name celebrities do you have to pack into a fucking weekend? You know, it's not bad enough that you're charging astronomical prices not only get into the shows, but by packing 60 fucking plus people into a convention, not to mention all of your vendors, but now you're going to make these people stand in line for hours at a time just to meet a handful of people. I mean, you can do your numbers a little bit better. And another thing, how many fucking conventions do you have to do a month? You have to have one every month just in a different city? It's like, why not just have your own local little show, call it done, come back next year, and see you then? You know, it's just fucking greed.
You've seen an East Coast horror site. I mean, all these people do is fight with each other.
Right. And
Monster Mania.
No, it's worse than that. You know, you don't even see them mentioned up there anymore. It's all Horror Hound, Days of the Dead, Kentucky Fright Night Film Fest, or some shit.
Anybody that was in
Hashtag Weekend.
If anybody was in any type of a horror film between 1980 to 2000, the only thing you need to do is go rent a fucking tour bus, and it's just like a touring rock band. You can hit a different city every weekend and not have to drive no more than 30 or 40 miles anymore. I mean, half the money that you spend on a tour bus, and pocket the rest.
Yeah.
And the money that you spend that they were going to spend for you in a hotel room, have them pay off your, have them make a payment towards your tour bus payment.
It's true. I mean, the only guy, there's certain things that are one of a kind, and it's like, I'm not putting over a wasteland because I'm there, but it's one of a kind. I mean, he gets people that nobody else gets, and that's what makes it good.
I know, that's great.
Well, like I've always said about Wasteland, though, that's a convention ran by fans for fans.
Yeah.
And, the guest list. I mean,
Family.
Right. But, you know, I'm going to see people at Wasteland that I'm not going to, that I know I'm not going to see 15 other times announced at different places across the United States. You know, I mean, there's conventions fucking popping up in places I didn't even know Civilization even existed. Like some of the places in the South. Yeah. I mean, fuck, Burkowski fucking Georgia's having a fucking horror convention. Probably not even 10 people in this fucking place could even spell that city.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. Yeah. That's what I was saying too. There's just too many of them. And then all these guys are trying to outdo each other. I'm like, why don't you bring in Godzilla and let him sign? You know,
right. You know, put a fucking guy in a Hulk outfit and have him just part a big black X across the picture and call it done.
Yeah, really. You
know? And all that money could go directly to the convention, you know, because, well, the convention rented the costume. We could get one of our crony people to work the show. He could wear the costume, take pictures for $20, and it all goes right back into the convention.
Why? One thing I have a problem with. Now, I mean, this is my problem. Why do people charge money to get your picture taken with them? Are they afraid you're going to put in some zine or something like that?
No, it's just another fucking way to make some fucking money. That's all. To me, it's completely disrespectful.
See, a lot of that, I noticed a lot of that shit was happening with a friend of mine used to be real big into sports collecting. And a lot of the times I would go to the sports shows with him, and they would always have a professional photographer there to take the pictures, and then they would send you the picture once it was developed. And that was so the ball players and stuff didn't have to stand there and wait for people to stand behind them, take a picture, get the camera ready and all that. And now it's just become another market. Somebody's got in there and said, hey, you know, I could move these lines a lot faster. We could get more people through here, and you could get a lot more money per autograph if you didn't have to stand here and wait for everybody's, you know, camera to light up or make sure everybody's flashed in, you know. And it's just, you know, rather than have to sit there for an extra 2 or 3 minutes, you know, that's an extra $20 bill. You know, it only takes a couple of seconds to scratch your name illegibly across the picture, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just somebody else that's wormed their way into the market, you know, that's basically giving you a service that you don't need. But the convention,
right,
the people running the convention are getting a kickback, another percentage of the, you know, they're not getting, the stars aren't making any money off of the pictures. They might be now, but the convention's going to be making a kickback from the photography people that are in there. So, well, we'll give you 20% of our take if you let us come in and take, for fish, you know, pictures only. Oh, okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I saw that somebody was setting up a professional convention picture takers and shit. Like, you know, something, you've taken something that used to be fun and made it another corporate fucking hoard out fucking deal, and I refuse to have anything to fucking do with it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, no.
Fuck them. You know, it's like anything else. Remember how they used to say how great the San Diego Comic-Con was? Now it's another fucking hoard out piece of shit because the corporations got involved?
Right.
You know?
Well, that's all it is, the fucking pimp convention.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody's going to, you know, oh, well, come see the official release of the Avengers 2 trailer only at San Diego Comic-Con, you know, so all the little fan kids run down there to see it, and, you know, 2 days later it's on the fucking internet anyway, so you just spent 45 minutes to see a trailer commercial 2 days earlier than everybody else. You didn't pay shit, so, you know.
It's like Tommy Lee Wallace told me, I mean, you know, when he was at Cinema Wasteland, I said, I don't have any money for an autograph. Can I get my picture taken with you? He says, I saved that for the customers. Bye. I said, okay.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Fuck them. They killed it. You know, I'm just glad I was in it when it was, you know, fresh and new and shit. And then when it just became completely hoard out as we hit the end of the 90s, I'm like, you know something, this shit's really gotten bad.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, and I pretty much said, you know, other than going to Wasteland and hanging out with Pete and Kent and all them guys, you know, my conventions ended the time that they had the Texas Chainsaw reunion. Because, you know, like I said, I got the entire original cast, one shot. It cost me a $100 bill. Pictures were free. It took me all but, you know, 20 minutes to get everybody's autograph, and I was done. There was, I knew at that point, there was nobody else that I wanted to meet, you know. I mean,
yeah.
There's plenty of other people I'd like to meet, but they're all dead. So that kind of narrows that down a little bit. So,
yeah.
You know.
Hey, at least you got to meet Uncle Dave, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good times. Actually, that was the first, that's what drew me to to Wasteland the first time. I was like, you know, somebody like that's going to be there. That's worth going to a fucking convention for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But how do you feel about people, like, if they're going to sign something, like put their signature on your mask for $20? How does that make you feel?
$20, I don't have a problem with. $20 right. is affordable. $20 is a bad DVD at most. Most people can waste $20 in a day and not think anything about it. But you have to think, a lot of these people are limited to their income. You have to put that into consideration. You can't go out. Right. I mean, they're not only paying to meet you, they're paying for hotel expenses, travel expenses, food. I mean, you know, you're not going to, I mean, maybe you see something there you like. Maybe you see something there you didn't even know existed. I mean, there's a lot of other different things that factor into a convention, you know, somebody attending a convention. And when these mindless fucking asses ruin it by raping these kids, it's just sad. Especially with, you know, it's just like a fucking ball player. You sign a multi-million-dollar contract, and you tell me you're only out of the game for a couple of years, and you haven't managed to sock away something. You got to charge a 13-year-old kid $100 and some because you want him to sign your baseball. Don't fucking look at me, you know. Don't even try to walk across the same side of the street as me, because you're not me. You know, you're fucking scum. You know, because if it wasn't for that kid buying a ticket and going and watching you play that game, or going and renting that bad movie that you starred in, you wouldn't be living that life to begin with. You know,
that could break you.
You know, if you want to go eat fucking craft services, and you want to go to the little trailer with your name stuck on the side of the box, then by God, go stand outside in the lobby at 2 o'clock in the morning when you just came back from being swilled around town at somebody else's dime, and see that kid who's fucking sitting over there and eating a fucking cheese sandwich because that was all he could afford over at the gas station. He spent $20 to have you sign a fucking picture of you that was 20 years old, and you don't look like that in 30 years. Give the kid a fucking free picture. Don't sit there and expect him to chuck out another fucking $10 for you to stand there motionless for 3 seconds and put on a fake smile. Put a smile on his face and give something back to him. You know, it ain't all got to be about fucking money. You know, yeah, it makes the world go around. You know, but sometimes you got to give back a little without trying to always expect something back. And that's where a lot of this has become, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's a sad fucking state of affairs. It really is.
In some ways, it works because you kind of have to look at it like this. You got the pros and the cons. I mean, you've got great conventions like Wasteland. You've got people who are out there really doing it because they love it. And then you've got people who, I mean, you can compare to that obviously are doing it for money. And I think the bottom line comes from this. As fans, even though we may really want to meet somebody that's there, we have to make a choice. Do we support those that are in it for the right reason, or do we support those that are in it for the wrong reason? And ultimately, it comes down to dollars and cents. If you quit spending money on the jerks, they'll go out of business. And ultimately, it's kind of like, you know, I tell Pete, look, you know, they're going to have 7,000 copies of Tyler Perry up at Hastings that don't sell at all. They might sell 3 copies out of 200, no joke. But yet, every time a Pete movie comes in, it'll sell. And that kind of comes down to the fact that, look, there's someone that cares about it, there's someone that loves it. And if we can send the message stronger, if we can get rid of the computer, online, a-hole, fanboy, whatever you want to call them, guys that are basically downloading everything, which I don't know how you can call yourself a fan and then take money out of the pocket of the guy you're supposed to be a fan of. I would never do that to someone I supported and thought of as a great person. So that's another story for another show. But I feel like, honestly, if we, the money-spending public, stand up for what we believe in and send Griff to the hospital, then we'll all be better off.
You know, and I can honestly say that I've only been to maybe 5 or 6 conventions, you know, and I've been to Wasteland like twice in a row, which is, you know, the run. And I honestly can say I've never met a bad person there, and I have never spent more than $20 for an autograph, and I've never paid for a picture. you know. And I haven't been to a major convention. I haven't been to Horror Hound, so I don't. And the last time I went to Texas Frightmare, it was only the second year that they were having it, so they were still kind of small. They were building, and the time after I went, it was a little bigger, and it kind of started losing that personal touch. So it was something I knew that I probably really wouldn't want to go through again, because I knew the next time it was just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually it just loses something, and it just becomes like walking through fucking Walmart. It's just, everything's got a price tag on it. There's no approachability to anybody. It's just, here's my money, here you go, have a good day, see ya. You know, yeah. So you can pick and choose what you want to go to, you know, but, you know, don't, you know, when, don't bitch about, you know, don't bitch at people when they tell you, you know, that have experienced it. You know, it's not like we're trying to knock anybody, you know, from not going to these places, but we're just, you know, we're trying to give you a heads up about what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a fucking bad movie. If I tell you it sucks and I give you the points on why it sucks, then don't fucking get mad at me when you rent it and you say, well, wow, that fucking movie sucked. Well, I fucking told you. You know, you think I'm going to lie to you? You know, don't get mad at me. I told you not to fucking watch it. So, I don't know. Fuck them.
You know what it was, too, even back when this stuff first started, those people you'd find, like Friedman and Lewis and all them, they were genuinely happy to be rediscovered. Now it's like, you know, unfortunately, you know, those were the good guys, and like Ted Michaels, Gary Kent, you know, these are the good guys. These other people are just so fucking mercenary, it makes me sick. But I'm lucky I got in at the beginning of it. I'm lucky I'm, you know, basically getting the hell out of it, you know?
Well, the thing, a lot of it has to do with, like I said before on our show, Pete, there's no education anymore in films. No. You know, there's, I mean, I'm only 40, but I was lucky enough to where I grew up in the time where I got to be educated in the drive-in. I got to be
exactly.
I got to be educated with monster movies on TV, and I had a dad that was into these types of movies, and he passed on his films, and he said, "Hey, here's some other films you might like. You might not like all of them, but give these a shot." Kids today don't have that. They only have the Rob Zombies. They only have the Michael Gray. You know, they only have the people that they know. They don't have the publications like we used to have, when in the 70s and the 80s. And there was, you know, nobody reads anymore. Nobody reads the, you know, everything now is fabricated. There's no research anymore. Nobody actually goes in and researches what they write. You know, anybody, you know, spout off and everybody takes it as being the word. And there's nobody to teach kids anymore about different movies. You know, everybody thinks, you know, like Todd, you know, they make all these remakes and the original films get lost because the next generation, they don't even know that there was an original film anymore. They don't realize that there's been three other remakes of I Am Legend, you know, prior to Will Smith, you know, with Vincent Price and Charlton, you know, I mean, they're not educated, and the conventions aren't educating them, you know, you know, they'll
taking their money and laughing,
you know, they'll have the new Leatherface at every convention after the release of the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, but they won't have the other three sitting there telling you, oh, well, this Gunnar Hansen was in the original one, or Bill Johnson was in the second one, or Edgy Milnoff was in the third one. You know, I mean, they're lost. They don't know. Yeah. You know, they only know. You know, people don't know what the fucking Beatles are if nobody tells them who they are. So,
yeah, it's amazing.
Or Elvis.
You know, right? I mean, it's just, you know, if yeah, it's just mind boggling. You know, and that's, you know, I have people all the time come up to me at Hastings and ask me, you know, what I recommend, and I'm like, well, are you wanting a slow burn, or you want something that's just mindless and you can put in and you don't have to think about it? And that's what I tell them, and they're like, well, what do you mean? So, you know, that's my answer I give. So,
yeah.
You know, are you going to be smart enough that you can hang with a movie for an hour and a half? Or do you want tits and gore and fast cuts every 3 seconds?
Yeah. How about both? I'm 39 years old. I got to experience all that stuff, too. You're 40. I'm 39. I'm glad I got to experience that stuff.
Oh, I look at kids today, and I pity them. I'm like, man, you guys...
Yeah.
You guys don't even know what's out there. You guys are so fucking limited about what you guys see. There's so much more out there to make your fucking mind pop. you know? It's just like porn. I mean, it's just like porn. You know, I mean, me and Pete discussed this before. You go back, I'd rather watch any fucking porn movie from 1970 to 85 because it's a story, it's funny, it's fuck. I mean, now it's like jerking off. It's all it is jerk-off material. There's no substance anymore. There's no feeling. I mean, yeah, it's a porno movie, but watching those porn, there was something in them. There was a feeling. They had a certain vibe to them, a certain feeling, a smell. You know, I mean, it's just, everything now is like taking your sister's Barbie dolls and smacking them together for 5 seconds. That's what today's porn is.
Yeah, pretty much. Todd, how are we doing? How are we doing on time, Todd? Are we almost there?
We're about there.
Oh shit!
Well, I guess we've been like new wave hookers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're running out of time, so I want to thank Griff for sharing his expertise with us today, and Superfan Rob is always a pleasure, and. Don't know what we're going to do next week. I got to figure that one out. So until then, stay sick, and we'll see you next week.
Love ya.
Laters.
Take care.
Your dreams are all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab yourself a seat on Saturday.